congregation please rise in our entrance hymn? It's hymn number 408, Come Thou Almighty King, hymn 408. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, Kyrie, and the hymn of praise. Once again, I am suffering not from COVID or flu or anything. It's a sinus infection for the past month. And so we will speak the Kyrie and the Great Thanksgiving again today, as we did last week, so I don't sound like a bullfrog. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, The love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise for this whole season of Lent is hymn number 324, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. We sing verses 1 and 2 only at this time. Hymn 324, verses 1 and 2.
The first reading today is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones is a promise that Israel as a nation, though dead in exile, will live again in their land through God's life-giving spirit. And we are to think also of Lazarus as in today's gospel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and the Lord brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. The Lord led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. The Lord said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then the Lord said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as the Lord commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then the Lord said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your grave, O my people, and I will bring you back to the hand of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm this morning is Psalm 130. We will speak it responsibly. It's not the hymn as listed in the bulletin. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive
to the voice of my supplication.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities,
Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness with you,
so that you may be revered.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits.
And in the Lord's word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord.
More than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord.
For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with the Lord is great power to redeem.
It is the Lord who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is from Romans 8, verses 6 through 11. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, God who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through God's spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel for today, this fifth Sunday in Lent, is from the Gospel of St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once again, because of the length of the gospel, I invite you to be seated and to simply listen to the gospel's reading or to follow along in your worship bulletin also. John chapter 11. And it's not the whole chapter this week. There's more before and after. So go home and read chapters 10 and 11, the whole thing. But John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death, rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to the disciples, go to Judea again, the disciples said to Jesus, Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Judeans had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of God. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to Jesus, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Judeans who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Judeans who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Judeans said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, greatly again disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in the cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Judeans, therefore, Mary had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord, praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is the Gospel of St. John, which was just read, the whole 11th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of our Lenten journey. Our Lenten journey through the wilderness of the 40 days of Lent. Today is the last Sunday of our bread and soup meal. Yay. Some people thought it was last Sunday. No, it's this Sunday. Yay. And the chef is with us. Next Sunday, we make the triumphal entry into Jerusalem with Jesus and his followers. Palm Sunday, as it's called, or the Passion of Our Lord Sunday. And next Sunday, we will read, as we have done for the past 15 years of my being with you as the pastor, the Passion narrative, and you will act out the parts of it. We get a foretaste of the great celebration of Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, in 2 weeks, with this resurrection story today of Jesus' best friend, Lazarus. It's the seventh sign or seventh miracle that points to who Jesus is. And so Jesus has that great confession, I am the resurrection and the life. We begin with the changing of the water into wine at the wedding in Cana. I think in chapter 2 of John, go home and prove me wrong, look it up. And then there are seven signs, John calls them, pointing, billboards pointing to who Jesus is, or seven miracles. And you can read all of those in John's gospel. Jesus did not bring back to life his best friend because Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were his best friends. Jesus did this miracle as a sign that God would do through him, Jesus, and his death and resurrection, the same thing. And that is, bring new life. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, Passion of Our Lord Sunday, we make the final journey to the cross, where this all begins, death and life. On Holy Friday, Good Friday, we will come to the cross of Christ and come to our ultimate forgiveness and gift of new life. The miracle in this account from John's gospel is the great revelation of who Jesus is. The miracle is not giving new life to Lazarus. That's just an addendum. The miracle is Jesus announcing who Jesus ultimately is. I am, that word for God, right? We've talked about that for 3 weeks now. Yahweh. I am who I am. That's why it's capitalized in your bulletin. I am the resurrection and the life. That's the miracle. Even before Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, even before Holy Thursday, Holy Friday, and Easter, we are given the gift of who Jesus is and what he brings to the world. The second miracle is given to us by a woman of all things. Go figure. Yay, women. Especially women of the Bible. Martha makes the great confession, even greater than all of the 12 yahoos that followed Jesus for 3 years up now. The 12 disciples, right? Martha makes the great confession. Yes, Lord, I believe and trust and have faith that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. They have waited for hundreds of years for the Messiah of God to come and free them from occupation of Rome and Greece most recently, but from Babylon and Assyria and all the rest. They've waited for thousands of years for the Messiah to come and free them from death and bring them new life, that they might leave Babylon and Assyria and the Greek and Roman occupation and have their own statehood of Israel again. Yes, Lord, she says, I believe, I trust, I have faith that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. She knows her Bible, she knows her scriptures, and she knows who she's waiting for. And he's right there in front of her. Those are the two miracles, really, that are here, more so than giving life back to Lazarus, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But for me, the most telling and the most troubling sentence in the whole 45 verses, and it's not the whole chapter, go home and read the whole chapter, but in the first 45 verses, the most troubling sentence is this: unbind him and let him go. I have wrestled with that, especially in the past 10, 15, 20 years of my ministry. This wonderful thing has happened. This mummy, look in your bulletin, is actually at the near the back page, the mummy coming out of the tomb with all the wrapped up clothes and that. Think Egypt. This mummy comes out of the tomb and there's life. Unbind him and let him go. The question I have to ask myself is how do I hold on to people? How do I bind them? How do I imprison them with my own thoughts and my own beliefs of who they are? Or how do I let them go? Or in some cases, not let them go. In the past 2.5 months, the first 11 weeks of 2023, I have dealt with 11 deaths. I've not officiated any funeral. A couple of them, the family didn't want me to do that. They didn't want the funeral here. And it grieved me, and it cut me to the heart, and I still mourn that. 5 of those deaths had to deal with family members and friends of you, the congregation of St. John's. 4 of those deaths are friends of mine, and we're going to pray for 2 of them today in the prayers of the church. 4 of those deaths were friends of mine in the past 2.5 months. And then 2 of them were members of the congregation, Elaine Havlicek and Kathy Strand, that I dealt with their deaths in the past 11 weeks. I'm not a mortician. I wrote a letter to my mother and my sister. I said, I'm getting tired because I'm not a mortician or a funeral director. They have to deal with death every week. That's their job, right? I, as a pastor, sometimes have to deal with death weeks in and weeks out, but not 11. This is a record breaker for 37 years. And the fact that they're not just community members, friends of the congregation and family members, but the fact that they're congregational members and then my friends, I'm getting to that age, folks. Yeah, I'm getting to that age where my friends are dying. And I grieve. The 2 that we pray for, I found out Monday night, Dr. Shannon Harrison, a good colleague and friend of mine, died Monday night. Luckily, I spoke to him 4 weeks ago, and he's a doctor, infectious disease doctor. He's been to Africa twice with AIDS and dealing with all that. And he was an intelligent man. He explained to me 4 weeks ago how he was going to die. And when I talked to his wife twice this week already, she said, it's exactly what happened, John. Liver cancer. I had never experienced liver cancer until this last week. I used to think bone cancer was terrible in that. That's the most painful cancer there is. But liver cancer? Ask me a coffee after you dare. I won't go into the gory details. A week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine in Florida died. He was about 10, 15 years older than me, but still a friend in Florida who fell and cracked his hip. He didn't break it totally, but he cracked his hip. And because of the broken hip and COVID-related issues, he had had COVID, but he came out of it on the other side, long COVID, he died. I am not willing to let go yet, especially of Dr. Shannon Harrison. That's the most recent death in my life. The first one I dealt with of the 11 was Elaine Havlicek on the 1st of January when I found out that she had died the day before. I'm still not over that one either. I'm not ready to let go of Elaine Havlicek, our member, and my friend Shannon Harrison. I'm not ready to let go. But I should. I, like Martha, should trust you are the Messiah. Yes, Lord, I believe and have faith that you are the Son of God, the one coming in the world, and that God has control and knows better than I. But I'm not willing to let go of either one of those deaths. The first one I dealt with of the 11, Elaine, and this last one, Shannon. Because I'm still grieved over Elaine's death and how it all played out. How she wasn't buried from her home congregation of St. John's. And I'm so grieved by Shannon because it's so new. Yes, I'm getting to be an old man and my friends are dying, but I even started a list. After about the 6th or 7th death, I thought, I'm forgetting somebody. Who am I forgetting? So on my desk at home, I have a list of the 11 names of people that I pray for daily, that I might unbind them and let them go. Let them be free. Let them have new life and not have to have me deal with imprisoning them or binding them up like a mummy. Unbind him and let him go. Releasing persons and communities from the clutches of death demands something in us. It takes a lot of work to deal with death, even when we think we're prepared for it. Elaine Havlicek, 92 years old, she was ready to die before she even went 6 years before to the nursing home. We had conversations monthly about how she was ready to go and be with husband and son and with family members and friends. And in one way, I celebrate that with her. And I can let go of it and say, yay, Elaine. But in another way, I still bind it all up and grieve over the way that that death happened. Unbind him and let him go. Lazarus is going to die again. I mean, that's the part of the story that we never talk about. Lazarus is going to die again. And I believe he was dead, you know? Martha said, it's going to stink. He's been dead for 4 days. We embalmed him and everything, you know, the first, second day, but it's over. Lazarus is going to die again. Here at the grave, the tomb of Lazarus, death is denied for a time. But at another grave, some weeks later, the tomb of Jesus, Easter morning, death is overcome for good. And that's the difference. Lazarus is going to die again. Poor guy. Been through it once. Didn't buy the t-shirt. Don't want to have to do it again. But he will. And there'll be new life for him again. Because at the grave of Jesus, death was gotten rid of once and for all. Not that we don't have to die. Yes, that was part of the letter to my mom and my sister too. Death and taxes. And then, oh, by the way, we're in the third week of March. Snow every day. You have to shovel snow. You know, so we've got death, taxes, and snow. My daffodils are 7 inches tall. My tulips are busting the ground by the brick wall, and I keep shoveling ice and slush and snow, saying, go back down. I try to bind up the flowers, and they know better. It's like, we can survive. I love crocus and tulips, because in the midst of death and winter and ice and slush and snow for the past week, I only shoveled twice out of 5 days in a row. They still grow, and they still live. That's the miracle, folks. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. That's the miracle. And so death no longer has its power over us. Yes, taxes, death, and winter, shoveling snow, it's going to keep happening. I forgot. After 15 years of being here, I forgot what it's like to be in the Rocky Mountains, Jackson Hole. They're going to be shoveling snow till June. Yeah, quote me. I get the newspaper every week. 10-foot, 12-foot piles of snow against people's houses and their decks. I wrote to a friend and said, barbecuing this week? You know, because there was a barbecue just kind of underneath the snowdrift. The miracle today is simply the great revelation of who Jesus is. I am the resurrection and the life. Unbind him and let him go. Amen.
Thank you.
Declaration of Faith is the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Today in the prayers of the church, remembering our prayers in the church, our prayers for Elizabeth Eaton and Kristen Kemple, our bishops, in our synod in the national church. We pray for AF Daily Bread this whole month of March. We're still in it. March came in like a lion. My prediction, it's going to go out like a lion. There are no lambs at all happening, other than on farms. Okay? So we pray for AF Daily Bread also. Nationally around the world, we continue to pray for the war in Ukraine and Russia and the nations around it, and all of those nations involved in it. We continue to pray for the people in California, the Pacific Northwest, and the Northeast, suffering the loss of property and life due to snow, flooding, and mudslides now. And then we remember in our prayers the people in Mississippi and Alabama. There are so far 26 deaths and hundreds of people displaced by the tornadoes that went through those states on Friday evening. And we certainly pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and responders to these crises. A prayer of joy, thanksgiving, and celebration. There is joy in the midst of death and dying, folks. In the 11 weeks, we found out last week that Joanna Alice Froling Kress was born on March 9th in Saudi Arabia. Named after Alice Kress, remember Alice Kress? Okay. Joanna Alice Froling Kress, born March 9th in Saudi Arabia to her parents James and Kelsey Kress. The proud grandparents are John and Melanie Kress. And so we celebrate with them and we lift up Joanna in prayer. We certainly pray for all those sick, hospitalized, in need. We usually don't name anybody by name, but I will today. Father Gabriel Morales of the Roman Catholic Church here in American Falls and in Aberdeen was in a terrible auto accident with a tractor trailer on Friday morning and has multiple injuries, is in ICU at Portneuf. As soon as I can, I will go up and visit and pray with him. They won't let me in ICU. And so multiple broken bones and injuries, but he's in stable but critical condition. Then due to death and burial, remember in our prayers, Madge Harwell, the sister of Rosie Bauer, Shannon Harrison, my friend, and then Brent Cutler, a friend of mine also. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. You have breathed into us the breath of life. Enliven your church, dry bones that we may be. Deepen the partnerships with our brothers and sisters around the world. Bless the work and ministry of all those who share the good news. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Your Spirit brings life to creation. Bless ranchers, calving, kidding, and lambing, and caring for their herds. Bless farmers as seed time is anticipated in the weeks to come. Bless the work of researchers and scientists who love your earth and care for the natural world. And bless the daffodils, the crocus, and the tulips. Lord,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You redeemed the world and its peoples. Free us from systems of oppression, racism, and sexism. Bless all leaders with the gifts of integrity, justice, mercy, and compassion for every human life. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, especially those whom we lift up before you by name in our hearts and minds. Especially we pray this day for Gabriel. Your steadfast love and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. Blow your life-giving breath through our dry bones as we journey through these 40 days of Lent to the cross of Christ. Build up and strengthen the ministries and mission of this congregation. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, your joy, your love, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of compassion, we pray for all those who are working through and suffering from the world's pandemics, COVID, RSV, influenza, HIV. Bless the efforts and the work of all healthcare professionals, scientists, and workers across our nation and the world. Sustain and be with doctors, nurses, and medical personnel in their tireless work. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of life, we pray for those who have died. You weep when we weep. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you. Especially today, we lift up Madge, Shannon, Brent, and those whom we name before you in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow as you were with Mary and Martha. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and a new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father. For the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Oh, there she comes. Company, yay.
You don't want to stand up here by yourself?
No. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the fifth Sunday in Lent, our last Sunday of the Lenten journey. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. We usually don't do this, but I'm going to call out a couple people who are visiting with us from Twin Falls, Idaho. They said, it was okay. There was no snow this morning when we left Twin Falls, but the closer we got to you, it got deeper and deeper. I said, welcome to spring break, yeah? The Reverend Wayne Popert and the Reverend Carell Miller are with us from American Falls, the other falls, Twin Falls. And so we welcome you and here with us. You'll have a chance to greet them at coffee hour if you so desire. Wayne and Carell, like the dishes, yeah. Okay, happy birthday today to Jerry Allen. Happy birthday this week to Aaron Winder, Michael Ferguson, Cambria Woonsook, Jared Gehring. This week at St. John's, see the readings and prayers page with the week's events listed on the schedule there. There are many events coming up in the days ahead. The last Bread and Soup Supper will be held today at 11:15 in the Fellowship Hall during coffee hour. You're welcome to stay and have a hot bowl of soup on a snowy day. AF Daily Bread, I'm going to take the thunder from you because I forgot to put it in the bulletin. I felt really bad. AF Daily Bread is tomorrow evening. She'll talk more about that. Are there any other corrections or additions to the bulletin announcements? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay.
All right. So Daily Bread is tomorrow from 5:30 to 6:30. We'll be having taco salads sponsored by the Millers. If you are interested in volunteering, Please see myself or Chris, and please come and join us and have a delicious meal.
I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time in preparation for Holy Communion. Our Lenten offertory hymn is hymn number 186, Create Me a Clean Heart, O God. And we sing it now as our offertory hymn in preparation for communion. Hymn 186.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possession. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving, found on page 144 in the front of the hymnal. Once again, due to sinus infection, I sound like a bullfrog. We will speak this, but we will sing the Holy, Holy, and the Lamb of God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal Feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, on page 146 in the front of the hymn.
Thank you.
208 and the prayer, the blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Hymn 208.
Oh,
She's good. Listen, lady, don't ever listen to me. The bones and bones and dry bones are fine. But that first thing, what was that? Arnie knew what it was called. That was fantastic. You impressed the two pastors.
This room.
No, that first prelude thing was just wonderful. I even listened. I got to hear part of it.
So what brought you here?
Is he the one that does